like to welcome you to our show today at Take Time for Jesus. After today's message, we will have information on how you can contact the show or access past shows here at Take Time for Jesus. And now with today's message, here's Brother Earl and Sister Sarah.
Praise the Lord. It's time to take time for Jesus. I hope that you have every day that you will take some time out to give him honor and praise. Friend, remember that oxygen you cannot see, but you can't live without it. You can't see Jesus, but you can't live without him. You may exist, but not living. Eternal life comes through repentance, and repentance that Jesus died on the cross for yours and my sins. Faith in the finished works of Calvary, and through his blood, through faith that we have in that, will give us remission of our sin. But if we don't repent, then we will all likewise not believe that he is able. We will die in our sins. We're going to pray and ask God to guide and lead you as you read the scriptures, give you an understanding of what it's all about, and to be not carried about every wind of doctrine and in these false churches and false teachings and doctrines that you be led astray in. Lord Jesus, we thank you for that time that you spent on Calvary, a whole day that you was there, that you died for our sins. You took upon you our sins and our iniquities, being obedient even to death on the cross. Give your life that we could have life. Through the shedding of your blood, we have the remission of sin. And so God, we thank you for that day that you was there, and that all that you have done, the finished works there in Calvary, the forgiveness of our sins. We thank you for all things, and we give you the praise and the glory for all things. So we ask it now that you may touch the hearts and the minds of the people, that they may read in your word and find in their heart and be led by your spirit to come to the truth and the knowledge of the grace of God in Christ Jesus, and that they too would come to know you as a personal Savior, as the Lamb of God slain from the foundation of the world that came and died for us, God manifested in the flesh. So we praise you and we thank you for all things. In Jesus' name we pray, amen and amen. Here's my wife. She's got something other here now. That pay attention and listen, and may God bless you.
Praise the Lord. This is a day that the Lord hath made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. I greet you this afternoon in the name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, of which we cannot live without him. You can try, but you really can't live without him. I found out a long time ago that Jesus was all that I needed, and when I turned my life over to him, it sure made a difference. But I just, it's our desire to touch your life and to lead you, give you a closer walk with the Lord. We don't try to lift us up, but we lift up the name of Jesus. And we're here today to let you know that he said, if I be lifted up, I will draw men unto me. So what we want you to do today is lift up the name of Jesus for everything that you have need of. He said he would supply our needs. He may not supply everything that we want, but if you really think about it, you probably don't need it, and that's why you don't have it. I know one time I wanted something so bad, and I just knew that I had to have it. However, I didn't get it whenever I thought I needed it. A few days later, I got a bill in the mail for my auto insurance, and if I'd have spent it for my wants instead of my needs, my insurance would have been lacking. This has been many years ago, so I know what it is to trust in the Lord and put aside some of your desires and let Jesus supply your needs. I want to share with you today the good and the bad. The stories of the rebellious prophet Jonah shows us how God desires to use both blessings and trials to challenge us, change us for the better. Five times in the book of Jonah, it says that the Lord prepared circumstances for him, both good and bad. In Jonah 1:4, we read that the Lord sent a storm. It said he sent out a great wind on the sea, and there was a mighty tempest on the sea. After mariners discovered that Jonah was the reason for the storm, they threw him overboard. And you can read that in Jonah 1 and 15. Then God prepared a great fish to swallow Jonah to save him from drowning in Jonah 1, 17. Later in the book, we read that the Lord God prepared a plant to shade Jonah in Jonah 4 and 6. Then we see that God prepared a worm to kill the vine, as well as a scorching wind and sun to beat down upon him in Jonah 4, 7 to 9. These circumstances were used to reveal Jonah's rebellious attitude. Only after that revelation could God directly confront Jonah's heart problem. As we face difficult situations, we should remember God is a sovereign over both the blessings and the troubles that come our way. He desires to use everything to build our character in James 1:1-5. He uses both good and bad to transform us and make us and guide us on our journey. The Lord gives and takes away. Blessed be the Lord. And I just praise God again this afternoon. If you would like to, we'd appreciate it very much if you would write to us. Our P.O. Box is Take Time for Jesus, P.O. Box 17272, Tampa, Florida, 33682. But we'd like to have you email us, tell us what you think of us, or tell us what you don't think of us. That's all right, too. But you can email us at ecompton31@yahoo.com. That's ecompton31@yahoo.com. We appreciate each and every one of you. And I always say, today's the day of salvation. Tomorrow may never come. And Jesus said, except you repent, you shall all likewise perish. Today's the day of salvation. Tomorrow may not come for you, me, or anybody else. Things are happening so fast that we never know what's going to happen tomorrow. I pray that you'll turn your life over to the Lord Jesus Christ. Ask Him to forgive you. Turn your life around completely. And after you do repent, don't turn around and do the same old thing over again, but make a new leaf. And your mind is where your thoughts are. Your mind is where your heart is. And you can, it says, by the renewing of your mind. Paul had that many times. He referred to it. And this afternoon, as you listen to the message that they have for you today, we pray that God will meet your needs, will bless you, and may Jesus bless you today and forever. Repent. Today is the day of salvation.
Praise the Lord. Amen. We look into the news in the papers and on the television, and we see all kinds of things are happening. And a lot of times, my friend, it even happens in some of these religious organizations. Salvation and religion is absolutely two different things. You can be religious about most any old thing, whether it's God or not. And most of the people have got religion, doesn't have salvation. They've got the religious that they are brought up in, and they went to this way because it's a lifestyle that they got into, and they really have not repented. They claim they have in one thing or another, but they teach false teachings and doctrine. So be aware of these things. That's why that the scripture teaches us that after we have received of the Holy Ghost, that's the Spirit of truth, He will lead us and guide us in truth. Paul mentions about in Corinthians there about the nine gifts of the Spirit, and one of them is the discernment of the Spirit. But I was reading in the paper today where one of these religious organizations had been found in court on several different occasions and times past, and still presently is in problems with the law because of the abuse of children. The priest and those things, the pastors or whatever, that they come and abuse these little children, boys and girls, whatever that is. That's not being salvation, my friend. God does not allow that to be one of the things that man should do. He said to suffer little children to come unto him, for there is in the kingdom of God. Now, they go and abuse these children and everything, and they claim to be so religious. They go to these gatherings where they gather together in thousands, and then 6 million people are gathered together to hear some of that garbage that they put out and everything, but they come up with these, with a fair speech and a smooth tongue. They've led away a lot of people into idolatry. My friend, when we come to the place there and read in Galatians, when Paul mentioned to us there in the 3rd chapter, he said, if ye be risen with Christ, seek ye those things which are above. Even Christ sitteth on the right hand of God. Set your affections in things above and not on the things of the earth. For you are dead and your life is hid with Christ in God. Where Christ, who is our life, appears, then shall we also appear with him in glory. Mortify therefore your members, which are upon the earth, fornication, uncleanness, idolatry, affection, evil conspiracy, and covetousness, which is idolatry, for which things that the wrath of God cometh upon the children of disobedience. I want you to think about it, my friends. If you read the paper and know that these things are being done in some of these religious organizations, and you still hear to them, there's something other wrong with your thinking. Your heart is not where it should be. I'm not speaking about that muscle in your chest that pumps your blood. I'm talking about your mind. The Bible speaks about the renewing of your mind. We were born in sin and shaped in iniquity. Our mind is carnal, and it looks for the carnality of things and looks to the things of the world. But we got a new born again experience with God, and we've had that renewing of our minds, and we accept the Lord as our personal Savior. Then our minds are set upon things of God and on the things of righteousness to be helpful to people and not to seek after destroy or bring forth an accusation of all this and rallying against people and everything and doing things which is ungodly. But if we've been renewed of our minds, then we seek after the things of God. But these people that have come around and seeking after abusing little children, I don't care whether it's mom, dad, the pastor, a priest, or whomever he is a sinner, and he has not been born again. He is subject to God's destruction if he doesn't repent. My friend, it's been in the law that's been upon some of these organizations and put the pastors and the priests and all in jail, and some of them has paid big money out because of the abuse of children, but the children suffer much. Even after they get grown, they still suffer from this because they probably got a guilt complex. But I even read in the paper today as to where one of these people told the children there that he was over and everything, said if he didn't allow him to abuse him in sexual ways and everything, he'd never get to go to heaven. Well, that feller ain't going to get to go himself, even though he's been dead for some times and they trying to make him some kind of saint or something or other. My friend, if he hadn't repented, there ain't no man in this side of eternity that can declare him to be anything but dead. He's dead in his sins and his trespassings. And the thing of it is, he'll raise one day, according to the book of Revelation, their death, hell, and the grave's going to give up the dead. And them that was names are not found written in the Lamb's book of life, which then I don't believe there will be, but they'll suffer the second death, which will be cast into hell, according to the scriptures, which is the second death. I don't care where branch of the service or wherever you come from, whatever nationality you are, whatever religion you claim, if you have not been born again and you do these things to little children and abuse them and bring forth malice and destruction upon other people and everything, then God's going to hold you accountable for your own sins. He won't hold the child accountable, but he will hold that man or woman or whomever they are accountable for their sins, because they should be protectors of the children. I admit that some of these here boys, 16 and 17 years old, that some teachers have went to bed with and one thing or another, and that's plain speaking. But them boys was just as eager to go to bed with that teacher as the teacher was, most loud. So the boy got away, but the teacher suffers the consequences. I think that it should be a little bit over the other part, but you'll realize that when the woman was brought by the people there in Israel, and they put them down there, threw her down at the Lord's feet, and said that they caught her in the very act of adultery, and the law required them to be stoned. So they wanted to know what Jesus wanted would do about it. So he stooped down and wrote in the dust of the earth there. May have wrote them fellers' names down. I don't know. But anyway, it doesn't say. But nevertheless, when he said that he that without sin, let him cast the first stone. And my friend, the thing of it is that when he stooped down again, but when he looked up, these people was ready to stone this woman. And but they turned and left, because they found themselves, they were sinners that too. As a lot of people in this world today won't admit that they're sins. But mind you now, they brought the woman. They caught her in the very act of adultery. Now, which one of them men was with her? Which one of the men that brought forth there? He wasn't present. They let him go. Now, is that right? Now, take it for what it's worth. My friend, if they caught somebody doing something other in that nature, that both was guilty, because the law required it. And the Bible says not to commit adultery and fornication. So there it was. They was trying to hang one, you might say, and let the other go. And that's the problem with our laws today. They'll take one and let another one go. My friend, it's come to the place to wherein God's going to make a judgment on this world here before too many more years or days, you might say, however long it's going to be. I don't know. No man does. But he's going to appear one day and in the clouds of glory. And them that have truly been born again and accept the Lord Jesus Christ as their personal Savior, and has got a renewing of a mind and living for him and doing what he would have them to do in righteousness as best as a human being can be, because the scripture said, if the righteous scarcely make it in, where will the sinner and the ungodly be? So, friend, at the very best that you and I can do, we're just going to barely make it in. And that's all the faith that we can muster out of and believe and trusting in the Lord Jesus Christ, that he will bring forth and bring us into the place of the kingdom of God when he appears. Not because that we've done so great, not because that we're so great in this world, but because that we have repented, had the blood of Jesus applied to our sins, and therefore asked him to forgive us and walk in the newness of life by the renewing of our mind and being led by the Spirit of God. How else can a man sexually abuse children, little boys, and claim to be some kind of pastor or something other like that, and claim to be righteous and stand up before the congregation and declare salvation and him being behind the closed doors of somewhere or another doing something like it there? I just don't understand how he can do it. He's full of the devil, and the devil makes him proud, and he thinks he's doing, getting some by with something. But I'm telling you, my friend, if God has got the sparrow in his eyes, he's definitely looking on you and I. So we need to take into consideration these people that's trying to do these things and get by. I don't care if he wears a big robe behind a Bible stand or wherever he's at, and he's claiming salvation and he's doing things like that. He's a hypocrite, no matter who he is, wherever he is and everything. But I want you to know that all these things that are there, it says in the fifth verse there, it said, mortify thou yourself members which are upon earth, fornication, uncleanness, and idolatry, and the evil conspiracy and covetousness, which is idolatry, for which things shape the word of wrath of God. that cometh upon the children of disobedience, in the which he also walked sometimes when we live in them. But how ye also put off all things, anger, wrath, malice, blaspheming, filthy communications out of your mouth, lie not to one another, seek the thing, seeing that ye have put off the old man with his deeds, and have put on the new man, which is renewed knowledge after the image of him that created him, where there is neither Greek nor Jew, circumcision or uncircumcision, there are citizens, bonded nor free, but Christ is all and in all. Put ye therefore, as in the elect of God, holy and beloved, bowels of mercy, kindness, humbleness of mind, meekness, and long-suffering, forbearing one another, and forgiving one another, in any man having a quarrel against another, even as Christ forgave you, so also do ye. And above all these things, put on charity, which is the bonds of perfection. My friend, we need to understand that we got to forgive even to them people that have abused these children. If them children can find it in their heart to forgive those people, then God will forgive them of anything that they may have done or committed. But the thing of it is, when a person does something to a small child, 8 or 9 years old or younger, or just thereforth and everything, and do something of the like that, and that man still holds up a standard that he's so godly, that man is in bad shape. I'm telling you, he's sick in his head. But my friend, today we need to realize that we need to forgive those that do things against us in order to be forgiven. But we need to put aside filthy communications and all these things and get it out of our life by the renewing of our mind. We can't do it ourselves. We have to let God help us do it. We can do so much in the human ability to do, but if you haven't been born again, the old carnal nature that we've born into sin and shaped in iniquity, the enemy of this world, the God of this world, is going to tempt you. And if you ain't got something to in there in your life besides old man, then you're going to be led off astray. So bring in Christ by the renewing of your mind, repenting. Let him lead and guide you in the path of righteousness for his name's sake and for the salvation of your soul. We just can't do it by ourselves. You can't live, as I've said a while ago, you can't live without oxygen, yet you can't see it. You can't see God. You can't see his spirit, but my friend, you can't live. You might exist without him, but you can't live without him, no more so than you can live without oxygen. The breath of life came from God when he created the first man called Adam out of the dust of the earth. He breathed into his nostrils and he became a living soul. The breath of life is in you in life. Life is in the blood. If you drain the blood out, the body's dead. If you cut off the oxygen, it dies. Sin will kill you. After sin is finished, it bringeth forth death. It don't make no difference where you from or where you think you're going or whatever. You got sin in your life. There's a man called Jesus. God himself is looking down upon you, each and every one of us, and he knows our lying down and our raising up. He knows what we have need of even before we ask. And oftentimes he supplied a need without us even realizing it, but we give him no credit for it. The need that you have is breath to breathe. How many times have you taken out of of your life to thank God for the breath that you breathe? My friend, these people are trying to say that they're trying to make the air as we breathe pure as oxygen, as these environmentalists and everything. So they undoubtedly, they've got something in their mind there. They've been showed something other there. But all of this that they're trying to do is makes a hardship on many people. But you cannot take the pollution of this world and bring it through by doing away with this or that and make it pure oxygen. It just simply doesn't work. But nevertheless, God gave us a breath of life, and God can take it away. We need to understand that Job made mention, the Lord giveth and the Lord taketh away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. My friend, I often, every day when I, before I hardly put my feet on the floor, I said, I thank you, Lord, for another day, for life, health, and strength to help me through this day, because I can't make it without you. My friend, we can't make it. We may think that we're doing something of ourselves, but the Bible plainly tells you without him, we can do nothing. We need to understand that it's all because God has gave us the ability to do things. He would prefer us to do it in the glory of God and praising him and thanking him for the ability that we have. But some people think this high education, all these instruments and things that we've got going on in the world is where it's all at. But it ain't, my friend. Even God let them people get up there to the moon and everything. But one day he's going to show them that who's boss. He's going to put everything under his feet. Even to death is going to be the last enemy and he's going to put under his feet. And when he comes, my friend, if we haven't got our names in the Lamb's Book of Life, we're going to suffer loss. There's some people that says, I don't want to be left behind. Well, I don't either, be truthful about it. I don't want to see nobody being left behind, because even though that there come a time, and some scriptures would have you to believe that even though that after the catching away of the saint, that there's going to be a time of trouble such as never was upon the face of the earth or never will be, and that people is going to have to suffer probably a martyrsome thing in order to make it in. But if you take that mark of the beast, which is going to come, and which is going to be, because the world is trying and leading toward this one world system, one world religion, one world government, to wherein that they can tell you what you can do and what you can't do without any recourse. You won't have to, you just have to obey it or not. And if you don't obey them, then they'll require you, they'll put you in jail or either throw you in the lion's den maybe or whatever, but they'll do away with you some way or another. My friend, it's time we got to realize that our only hope is in Christ Jesus. He's the only hope that we have. He has always been the only hope. Now, our forefathers that set up this world and their constitution and our things of nature and everything, they had some knowledge of God, and they based our constitution and everything on the knowledge of God, but our people have come along and changed it so much until they don't know what's on it anymore, hardly. But I want you to understand that God is keeping a record. He knows you. He knows me. He knows every day that we live. He gives you the breath to breathe, and he knows. And I thank him every day for the breath out of his nostrils that I have life in me through the breath that he gave me to live. I praise him, and I thank him for it. My friend, today it's time we got to realize that time is running out. We're looking at all the things that are coming upon the world that the Bible speaks about, the signs in the heavens and the earth and in the stars and in the moon and the sea beneath. All these things are here upon us. All these things that he spoke about is coming to pass. So open your understanding, open your eyes and see what's happening. Read your Bible and find out for sure, and you'll be not mistaken, my friend. Understand that God's word is truth. And it's going to stand when nothing else is able. The heavens and earth shall pass away, but his word will not pass away. It's going to be fulfilled. Every dot of the I and every cross of the T is going to be fulfilled. All the promises that he's got in the book, he's going to give unto them that are faithful towards him and repented and come into his way of living. I want you to know, friend, you need him to help you to live that life. There's a road that's going to lead into destruction. There's a road that would lead into righteousness. And only them that are follow the true shepherd, Jesus Christ, will be able to walk on that road without being condemned and everything. My friend, it's time. Even to a wayfaring fool won't err there in it if he'll walk in the ways of God. But my friend, there's a lot of them walking down the road of destruction today. It leads down into Babylon, as they call it, some denominations. Everything is Babylon but them. And they babble so much until they don't know where they're at. They're so deep in Babylon that they probably shook hands with Nebuchadnezzar. But my friend, he even repented there one time, but then he turned away from God and lost out. Thought he was something of the big, but I want you to understand God's bigger than anything else. If you don't recognize him and honor him and pay attention to him and live the life that he so would help us to live, we're going to be lost. My friend, I want to make it. I want to see many make it. I'm like the Lord said, it was not his will that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. And these people are going around and claiming this and claiming that, and they're doing wrong even behind closed doors. And they think that because that you and I don't see them, that they are hid and nobody sees them. God's looking on at them. And if it's not brought out into the light here in this time that we're in, it will be in judgment day. It will be brought out into the light then, my friend. And it's going to be a hard course for them to swallow. But nevertheless, if that's what they choose to do, God said he'd turn them over to a reprobate mind that they would believe a lie and be damned. But if they want to go that route, he'll let them have their own will, because he made us a free moral agent to start with. And you can choose what you want to do, whether it's right or wrong. It's your choice. But my friend, let me ask you today, have you chose to serve the Lord? Have you chose to repent of your sins? I hope so, because that's our only hope, is in Christ Jesus. And the only way that we're going to be able to make it into the kingdom, we got to be born again. We got to have that old stony heart, which is just hard-headed and sinful, be taken out and God put a fleshly heart in. That old mind, that brain that's in our head, it controls the whole body. And it's the one that does the thinking. If it thinks to move your left hand moves. If it says the right to move, it moves. That muscle that's in your chest has nothing to do with it, because that mind that's in your head, your brain, tells it what to do, my friend. So don't be naive and always, when my heart is clean before God and you pat your chest, your thinking is in your heart. Renewing of your mind will give you clear thinking, and the Lord Jesus Christ will have us to think in righteousness. You think before you do something of the wrong, and if you really think about it and you be led by the Spirit, you're going to do that which is right in the sight of God. You're not going to get yourself trapped up in these here fornications and lying and stealing and killing and abusing and sexual immorality and things of that nature if you've got a renewed mind. It's where it's got to come from. It controls the body, and it's going to have to be controlled by God. The mind, the heart that God can give us to control us by, in our thoughts and in our heart, it can make the difference, my friend. Otherwise, the enemy of this world, the devil himself, the god of this world, will control your mind. He'll have you out there doing all kinds of things, which is going to get you in trouble here on this earth, and then when you stand before the Lord, you'll be in worse trouble. Because even though you die and you be laid in the dust of the earth and you never put a day in jail for all your wrongs and everything, and you never repented and you think you done everything right, but when it stands before God and he brings forth and your name is not recorded upon the Lamb's Book of Life, he's going to cast them out again. That's the second death. Even to the devil is going to be cast in. But Jesus is the first fruits of the resurrected dead to never die again. And I hear people talking about there was a bunch of resurrection. Sure there was. Jesus resurrected Lazarus. Several other of them back in those days was resurrected and brought back to life. But my friend, they died again. Even at the time of the crucifixion of our Lord, the earthquake there and the veil of the temple was rent from top to bottom. And there was many of the saints were seen walking in the streets of Jerusalem. Where they went, a lot of people said, where'd they go? They went back into wherever they were supposed to be. But it let people know that the God of creation had been paid for their sins and everything, and whatever happened to them, I can't say, no man can. But they said that they seen many of the saints walking in. That was a type of resurrection, I suppose. But the thing of it is that they died again. It was put out of life. But Jesus was the first fruit of the dead to die, to never die again. And my friend, we're going to all die sometime or another. Even if you remain to be alive, you're going to have to put off this old mortal body and put on immortality. So the old body's going to die, but the spirit's going to go back to him that give it. And there's many people that says, oh, so-and-so's in hell kicking and screaming. My friend, there's no sense in making no such a judgment of that. You don't know what really happened and transpired before his life was taken from him. But there's this foolishness to make a statement like that, to put him anywhere but except in the hands of a living God. That's where he's at. The spirit goeth back to him at give it, because God gave the man life to begin with, and he's able to sustain it. He's able to take it. So why does some of these pastors jump up and say, well, oh, so-and-so's in hell kicking and screaming because of his lifestyle? Well, that's between him and the Lord. But I want you to know that I feel more comfortable about it when if I officiate a funeral to say he's in the hands of a living God. God's going to separate the wheat from the tares. He's going to bring forth justice on the unjust and justice for the just and everything. Now, the just was guilty for the unjust. Jesus was found not guilty of anything, but yet and still he was a just, but he was given for you and I, which was unjust. Barabbas was taken out of jail and set free, but they taken Jesus and crucified him. Put him on the cross and he died. He gave up his life, my friend. They didn't kill him. He gave it up. He gave his life for you and I. They put him in the tomb, sealed it up with a rock there and a seal on it, rather, and they put on it. The guards are watching it. Remember the story about Daniel, how that they found him, the religious ones, the one that brought accusation, had the king to sign a thing that would anybody ask of any favor or anything before anybody except the king, and called on another god besides him. They knew Daniel wasn't going to foul up on anything else, but they knew that three times a day he went into his house, opened the window towards Jerusalem, and he prayed three times a day. They knew this, and they knew that they watch him, and that's what he was going to do. But when he heard that the thing had been signed, the decree was passed, made a law of the Medes at that time, and the Persians, that it couldn't be broken, couldn't be revoked, he went into his house, opened the windows, and prayed as he'd always had, every day, three times, and they brought him before the king. And they had it fixed to where they'd throw him in the lion's den. But the king knew that he had faith enough to believe, even though he was kind of like a little bit on the offside, but he thought that because he knew what Daniel had brought forth, and he said that the God that Daniel served would be able to deliver him. And they put him in the lion's den. They put a rock on it that probably weighed several tons or whatever, and put a seal upon it. But when the king rode back again the next day, and he asked, oh, Daniel, was your God that you served continually? See, it's a continually situation to serve God and continually, every day, every moment, to give him praise and honor. But he said, was he able to deliver it? He said, yeah, O king, live forever. I was found faithful in his sight and not done him or nobody no wrong. And he brought him out. But them old boys that got him thrown in there, them and their families suffered loss. They were thrown in the lions themselves. So the lions had a feast anyway. My friend, it's time we begin to realize that God is going to bring forth victory to them that love him and serve him and walk with him. And he said he would go with us and be with us even to the end of the world. He'd never leave us nor forsake us. Once you have become one of his, and if you stay faithful to him continually as Daniel did, serving him and he is going to see that everything's going to be all right. You may suffer some things in this world, so be persecuted and going down, and people abusing you in many ways or whatever, but God's on your side. You're going to come out victoriously. You'll be the winner in the end, and if they don't repent and everything, they're going to be losers. My friend, would you rather be a loser or would you rather be a winner? I don't know if anybody likes losing, but a lot of people in this world evidently is embracing losing because the scriptures is fair. God said to repent. Repent by the renewing of your mind and get out of these ungodly situations and be not partakers of the things of the world and all this year sinful things that God had said that we shouldn't do. If we repent and let the Lord come into our life, let the Spirit of Truth, the Holy Ghost, guide and lead us. I don't say that you won't have some hardship, my friend. And once in a while, you may stumble and blunder around, but if you call upon the name of the Lord, He'll deliver you. You got to be die daily, as Paul said. You got to repent. You got to die from the world in these situations daily. You can't go, well, I'll do that next time and tomorrow and the next day when you're there and there's something else come up. And the first thing you know, the load's too heavy to bear. And you'll just might just throw up your hand and say, oh, what the use? That's what the devil would have you to do. He put you, well, you done got so bad now, so there ain't no need. You just may as well and just go ahead and quit. My friend, this is no time to be quitting. This is the time to get a hold of the horns of the altar, seeking after the Spirit of Truth with all of our soul, mind, and body, with all of our spirit, looking unto the Lord Jesus Christ to lead and direct us every day of our life, one day at a time. You can't live yesterday over again. You can't live tomorrow, but it's one day at a time. One day at a time, sweet Jesus, as the song says. Lord, we just need you to guide and lead us one day at a time. We need to understand that He is beginning and the end. He's there right along. It's nothing impossible with Him. There's nothing going to slip by Him. There's never a time in the scriptures that has brought out anything and any indication that God said, well, that slipped by me. I didn't see that in coming. No, sir, my friend, you won't find it. It's not there because God knows everything. He knows the beginning from the end. He created the heavens and the earth and all the fullness thereof. In Christ Jesus, in the fullness of, as Paul wrote to Timothy, there he said, at the fullness of God dwelt in Jesus. My friend, without any controversy, you ain't got nothing, or I ain't even got no argument about it. The scripture says, and it bears truth, God came in the flesh to die for you and I, because the invisible spirit God couldn't be nailed to a cross, but yet and still, that man called Jesus, he could have summoned 72,000 angels and they could have destroyed the world and set him free from the cross. But he chose to go there for you and I. He chose to be nailed to that cross and suffer all the abuse and the persecution and all that they done to him, spit upon him, whipped him with a cat of nine tails until the flesh on his back was marred up so bad that the scripture says it would have been hard to recognize him. I want you to just think about what he suffered for you and I, that we didn't have to die and go to hell, that we could be saved from our sins. What he done for you and I, and then you want to say he can't do this and he can't do that. You abuse him and treat him like he's second rate or something other. My friend, it's going to come a time when you're going to call upon him, but it may be too late. Oh, the people that stand there, the scripture says that there will be many that will stand there. And these people that abuse these young children and everything and all and sexually harass them and everything like that behind closed doors and them in their frocks and everything, claiming that they are so righteous and all. God's seen it, but they're going to say, at the end time, they're going to say, Lord, we've done all these wonderful things in your name. And he's going to depart from me, you worker of iniquity. I never knew you. Where is all these here so-called saints, so-called people going to be if they're living that kind of a lifestyle? If they claim to be a Christian and are living for godly life and living in sin at the same time, it just don't work, my friend. You cannot take a fountain and bring forth salt water and fresh water. It's going to be brackish and it ain't going to be fitting to drink. Like the church of Laodicea in the Revelations there, it was lukewarm. He said, I'd rather for you to be hot or cold, or if you're lukewarm, I will spew you out of my mouth. And that's about the way brackish water is. It's neither salt water, but it ain't fresh. It tastes terrible. And get some of these wells around here in the state of Florida, you can't drink the water from the chemicals that's in it. But my friend, that pure waters of life that Jesus said at the day, last day of the feast, when he stood up there and he said, if any man athirst, let him come unto me to drink, simplifying and bringing forth and signifying there that by his spirit, we can have that spiritual application of water that we're in, that we can have life more abundantly through the gift that God has gave us, eternal life, through the promises. But you got to repent. You can't make it on your own. You need him. And if you go your own way and the ways of Cain, you might say, living in this old world of luxury and everything like that there, and robbing and stealing and cheating, and then claim that you got the blessings of God in your life and you've been born again and you're lying to yourself. God knows the heart, my friend, and we're going to give an account for that. But them that are taken up in the rapture of the church, they call it, the catching away of the bride of Christ, they've got their sins under the blood and they repented of their sins. When they removed off the face of the earth, the church is gone. It's got to go, my friend, in order to come back with him when he comes back and sets his foot on Mount Olive. That's going to be the second return of Christ. When he comes in the clouds, he's not going to put his foot on the earth. But the church is going to go to meet him in the clouds. The dead's going to raise from corruption to incorruption. Them that remain to be alive is going to be changed from mortal to immortality, and they'll meet the Lord in the air. But they're going to come back with him, the faithful, as according to the Revelation, when he comes back, the faithful is following him there, and he's going to put his foot on Mount Olive, and it's going to cave away, and then it's going to make a provisions, a valley opened up, and it's going to come in the time of the Battle of Armageddon, when he's going to put all sin and all them that love that sin and everything, lying and cheating and stealing and whatever else they've done that was displeasing to God, is going to suffer the consequences. So, my friend, don't wait until after the church is gone, because it's going to be some troubles. But why suffer all of that troubles when it can be easily? You may be persecuted a little bit here. You may even give your life before the Lord comes. I don't know. I can't say, but I do know this. If you hid in Christ, when he comes, you'll come with him. But if you've not been born again and you're lost and you die in your sins, the Bible says that the tree falls in corruption, it'll lie in corruption. If it falls in righteousness, it'll raise in righteousness. So the tree lies, so shall it dies in sin. In other words, a man dies in sin. It's going to raise one day in the second resurrection, where death, hell, and the grave gives up the dead and them that there, and they're going to die again, because he's going to cast them all into hell, which is the second death. There's no sense in you suffering through all of that when it's simply just repent, calling upon the Lord Jesus Christ and let him to forgive you of your sins. Repent and live your life as he would have you to live. Ask him to help you, to show you how that he wants you to live, to help you to understand, give you an understanding of what it is about him that you need to love. And he loved us enough, he died for us, my friend. Can't you love him enough to live for him? Oh, my friend, it's time we begin to seek after the kingdom of God and his righteousness, for without it we are lost. So it's time that we need to repent. It's time that we took on Christ, put him on the whole armor of God, and the shield of faith in him, a breastplate and all, and bring forth in the helmet of salvation, holding tight onto the horns of the altar, praying and seeking God with our whole heart. Oh, my friend, it's time we got to understand that the day is upon us. Tomorrow may not be ours to behold. The way things are happening, people are going down the road and shooting people for apparently no reasons, and how that all these things are happening and bad things happening to good people and these things, and some people think that they're doing good and they are doing bad and all these things, my friend, it's here. Look about you. Read in the news, the papers in the news, looking into it. Read your Bible and you'll see that these things are being fulfilled right today, as Jesus said that 2,000 years ago or before or longer, that these things was going to come to pass, and they're here as the days of Noah and the days of Lot. They're here, my friend. Now, take it for granted. You can take the word of God and live with it and live upon it, live by it, and you'll make it. But if you refuse, you're going to be lost, plain and simple. God didn't come here and die for you to be lost. He come to die on the cross to forgive us of our sins. But many people choose the broad way, and they think this foolishness to serve God. Who is this God? And everything, as Pharaoh asked Moses, who is this God that he wants to come here and tell me what I can do and everything? Pharaoh lost out, my friend, simply because he didn't believe. But the children of Israel walked across the Red Sea there in dry ground, and God brought them through. Of course, they blundered and they stumbled, murmuring and grumbling and carrying on. They still murmuring and grumbling and carrying on, but God's going to bring them forth. They're going to be saved, and there's going to be, according to the scripture, 144,000. But I want you to understand that time is running out. Today is the day of salvation. It's time to call upon the name of the Lord, believing and trusting in him for your salvation, for your soul. For he is the only one that can grant you salvation. In him is life and death. If you live for him, there's life. If you disobey him, the death is going to come, my friends. And your old body's going to die one day. And if it dies in righteousness, it can live in righteousness. But if it dies, it'll die again. Be brought out, resurrected, cast again into hell at the second death. It's up to you and I. But I pray that you will take time for Jesus. Take time out of your life to give him praise and honor. Repent. Calling upon the name of the Lord Jesus for the salvation of your soul, giving him praise and glory. In Jesus' name we pray. May God bless you and keep you till next time. The God of creation, the Lord Jesus Christ, be with you. Amen and amen.
We would like to thank you for joining us today on Take Time for Jesus. If you would like to contact the show, you can do so in the mail at Take Time for Jesus, P.O. Box 17272, Tampa, Florida 33682. Or you can email the show at ecompton31@yahoo.com. If you'd like to check out past shows of Take Time for Jesus, go to our website, taketimeforjesus.com. We look forward to joining you again on our next show as we Take Time for Jesus.